Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it kind of feels like it, at least for the Phils. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls as we vent on everyone today. The manager, the stars, the defense, the bullpen. Dodgers 2, Phillies none, nothing as we get ready for Game 3 tomorrow night with Aaron Nola on the mound. All right, let's take a little bit of a break. Just a little bit from the Phils to get some thoughts on the Eagles. But I'm sure Ross has some thoughts on the Phils, too. I know his kids are fans. Ross is a fan, probably watching this thing last night like the rest of us and feeling like garbage. Ross Tucker with us here, of course, the host of the Ross Report, talking Eagles on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, how you doing today?
Not great, Joe. Not great. You know, I'm usually very upbeat and excited, but, you know, my kids are 12 and 13, and by far – their three favorite teams are the Eagles, the Phillies, and Penn State. And Ooh. So you have the Phillies lose Friday night.
Wow.
Penn State. And here's the thing. Every loss was like agonizing. You know, they're watching the end of the Penn State game, and Penn State looks like they're going to come back and actually win it, and then they blow it. And then Sunday, the Eagles look like they're going to win all the time, and then they lose. And then last night, you know, we're sitting there, and after the Castellanos hit, we were excited. They're jumping up and down. And he's on second. There's no outs. I'm feeling really pretty good about it. And I don't know. I don't pretend to be a big baseball guy. I really stopped playing after sixth grade. But I don't understand. I understand the thought process of the bunt there. Get the guy to third with one out, then you can get a sacrifice fly. I get that. But he's a lefty. You know, have some faith that he can put it in play or pull it to the right side. But can someone explain this to me? Even if all else fails and you're still going to have him bunt, doesn't it make more sense to bunt down the first baseline, or do you bunt to the third baseline? Because then the shortstop has to cover the base.
Yeah, I would think bunt towards the first baseline, especially Freddie Freeman, the Dodgers first baseman, Ross, a right-handed thrower. So, like, and it's not like if he was a lefty, he could scoop and throw to third. But as a righty, he'd have to flip around to
and
throw.
And it's a longer throw.
Yeah, of course. And then on top of it, Castellanos is the slowest runner on the team. So it's a foot race with him and Betts to third. And it's just, like, in theory, it could have been an okay idea. But based on the whole operation, it just was. It's funny you mentioned your kids, Ross. I thought I was having a good dad moment last night. My kids are 10 and 8, and they went to bed after the 8th. And then I'm watching, and the ninth starts playing out. I'm like, I got to wake them up. I got to get
nice.
Them. Like, this is a moment. So yeah. I got them downstairs. I paused it when Castellanos hit the double, and I was like, all right, come on. And then we watched the meltdown together, and then they see me annoyed at Topper, you know, on the couch there, like, what is this guy doing? And then they went back to bed all upset, and I felt bad because I woke them up. For no reason. It was a rough night.
Okay, I have a quick question. Because I saw a clip of like Ruben Amaro and Michael Barkan like yelling.
Yeah,
at
they themselves. Were going after
yelling
him
each
a little
other.
Bit.
So why couldn't they pinch run for Castellanos?
So
because what Bader was, they were talking about Bader was not available.
Yeah. So I think they could have Ross. I understand Ruben's perspective because they were down outfielders. Because the next batter who they used to pinch hit, Bader, who got the hit, he couldn't run. He's hurt with a groin.
But you can't pinch run two guys?
Well, they only had one more outfielder left on the bench. That was Wilson, who they saved to run for Bader. But my thing there, Ross, is it's almost like in hockey when you pull the goalie. Like, it's desperation here. So they had a backup catcher on the bench they could have used because I'm not worried about an injury at that point. I'm just trying to get to extra innings or win the game. And, Ross, in the past, teams have used pitchers to pinch run. Like, you have a bunch of pitchers. Like, Christopher Sanchez, who started two nights ago, he's not doing anything. Like, there's been desperate moments where teams have used other guys just to run because they're caught. So I understood Ruben's perspective, but I think there were other ways around it if they got really creative.
Wow. That was very, 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 very disappointing. It's almost better from a parent standpoint if they don't even have that rally in the ninth inning, because it makes it so much worse, to your point, from like it gets your hopes up only to be crushed again.
I know. It really did. It was a tough one. All right, Ross. Well, this would be the portion of the program. At least we got an undefeated football team that never loses to talk about. But not this week. Ross, let's talk about what happened Sunday, and then we'll spin forward quickly to a short week with the Giants. Eagles dropped their first game, which on the surface, just a loss isn't the biggest thing in the world, especially in an AFC matchup. But Russ, what threw us yesterday and on Sunday was the way they went about offense in that game. We haven't seen a lopsided pass-run ratio around here like that in years. What do you think that was, and what did you make of the way they lost that game Sunday?
Well, so organizational philosophy has always been you throw to score, you run to win, right? So you throw early to get the lead, then in the second half you kind of salt it away, which I think is typically what they want to do. Obviously, I think there were a number of reasons why they wanted to get the passing game going early in this one, and I would say they kind of did. I mean, it wasn't on fire, but you know, they were getting the ball downfield. Devontae was making some plays. A.J. Brown, you know, they were doing that. And even they had a couple that were very close and either got called back or he was out of bounds with Dotson and Devontae. The interesting part of it is that they throw the touchdown pass to Saquon, which, by the way, I would really try to throw the ball to him more. And I know there's only one ball and you can't throw it to everybody, but most coaches I talk to will tell you that's your best matchup. If you can get a running back that can run routes and catch passes against the linebacker, do that as much as you possibly can. I think last week kind of spooked them a little bit. You know, last week they had that lead on the Bucs. They tried to salt the game away. They tried to run it a bunch. They couldn't run it much. And, you know, they got zero passing yards and they weren't really getting first downs. It was three and outs. So I think, Joe, they kind of decided, well, we're not doing that again. We're not just going to run the ball into a wall and not be able to get – we're going to stay aggressive. So I think that they thought they were doing the right thing by staying aggressive, but then what happened was is they weren't converting and they weren't taking any time off the clock.
Yeah, and it allowed the Broncos – Ross, I thought in the second half the Eagles' defense was gassed. They played over 70 snaps on Sunday in Tampa. Then they came home and played 70 snaps again. I thought Denver and Sean Payton kind of sensed it with the way they went about their offense and that two-point conversion. I thought the Eagles' defense, because of what happened with the offense, they just were gassed at the end.
I think that's part of it. I also think it's funny because I was so close to posting in the third quarter, your quarterback's going to have to play a lot better than Bo Nix is to beat the Eagles. Because he was not good, I didn't think, for three quarters. All of a sudden in the fourth quarter, he was fantastic. I mean, he was awesome. Now, we all know that they got the benefit of at least two, arguably three calls that kind of went their way. Although I don't know that I thought the one was offensive pass interference either. But if you're the Eagles, you gotta make your own breaks too. You know, he made some nice throws to Cortland Sutton, but the Eagles really need, as good as he is, Quinyon Mitchell to force an incompletion on one of those. Even though Sutton's good, it's a perfect timing back shoulder throw. The third and 15 was really killer. I mean, the third and 15, that's the one that you really, at home, loud crowd, you should be able to get pressure and not give up a third and 15 like that.
Ross, what did you make of the miss that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown had and just the whole situation? I know there was a report last night, which is good, that A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and Saquon Barkley sat down together yesterday and spoke for a while, which, you know, that's obviously better than not. But that miss, that felt like a chance to end the game there. What did you make of that play? Was that Jalen holding on too long? Did A.J. really slow down too much? Because you watched the copy of it, like, it did feel like he stopped running on that route.
Well, first of all, I'm so thankful to hear that those guys talked for a couple hours. I don't know that anybody knows what's going on there, but they clearly, I know Hughes made comments about or whatever, but, you know, when AJ first got here, all they talked about was how they were best friends and all that stuff. And obviously something happened, something changed that along the way, unfortunately. And they don't need to be best friends, but you definitely need to talk after a miss like that. I think what happened, Joe, is I think as AJ Brown was running, Nick Bonitto did a pretty good job of what's called rerouting him, right? So he got a nice shot on AJ, which made AJ have to run around. And I think AJ kind of thought the play was dead then. I think he thought, because I got rerouted, it's going to throw off the timing. He gets past the safety, doesn't see the ball in the air, doesn't think it's coming, throttles down a little bit. It's kind of like it's not acceptable. It's not okay. But it's also like when a baseball player hits a ground ball right to the second baseman. You know, those guys don't always sprint 100%, 100 miles an hour in case it's a bad throw or whatever. You know, they might run it out, but they might not be, you know, fully opened up. It was kind of like that for A.J. Brown. I think it's worse in football because you don't know if the ball's coming to you. Like, you got to run it out full speed, because if he doesn't slow down, it actually is probably a perfect pass for a touchdown.
Let's end with this, Ross. Short week, Eagles-Giants Thursday night. It feels like a spot for a get-right game for the Eagles, favored by 7.5. It's a division game, though, short week, on the road. What do you think of the Giants, obviously, now with a new quarterback in Jackson Dart in there?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say must win, but obviously the Eagles have to win this game. We all recognize that. The Giants are not good. You know, I've told you guys the last few weeks. I told you last week that I thought the Broncos were a lot better than people realized, and they were, and we saw that. The Giants are not good. They have a pretty good defensive front. You know, I love Scadaboo, the way he plays, and obviously, you know, Dart can make some plays with his legs, but they turn it over on 5 straight possessions against the Saints. I don't know that they'll do that against the Eagles, but this is a game where the Eagles are significantly better. Interestingly, though, Joe, because you know on Tuesdays I record the Even Money Betting Podcast, the Eagles were favored by 7.5. The book I use, they're now favored by 7. So some money has come in on the Giants. So some significant money, I guess, to move it by 0.5 has come in on the Giants. So there are some people that think, I guess at a minimum, that the Giants are going to be able to keep it close.
Yeah, I guess part of it, maybe the Eagles just not being able to pull away with their offense and how choppy it's been. But it should be a win for the Eagles. We shall see it on Thursday. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up next Tuesday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker with us there, talking about the AJ stuff. And yes, there was a report Jimmy Kemsky had last night, Hugh, that AJ, Jalen, and Saquon sat down and talked, and it was productive for, you know, multiple hours yesterday. We back? We back?
Let me be honest.
Yeah, of course.
Nah. I don't think so.
Come on.
I mean, this is just me recklessly speculating.
That's what we do.
Because... like, my thing is this, and I want to be optimistic, but when you have that kind of, well, what it feels like that you have that deep-rooted situation, that it's not going to go away. Now, I think it's repaired in the sense where they'll communicate better, But that's going to take a little bit more time. Like 3 hours, like the way that they were acting, nah, 3 hours ain't going to cut it. But it's a start. Let me just say that.
Yeah, it can't hurt. Start. It can't hurt.
It's a start.
Yep. And look, I know Ross said, you know, the line moved from 7.5 to 7. The Eagles should dominate this game on Thursday. I mean, the Eagles have had fewer first downs and yards than every opponent this season. That's got to change this Thursday against the Giants. All right, let's go to Al in North Philly up on WIP. Hey, Al.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm enjoying the show. I have a different perspective.
Okay.
You've listed a dozen things the Phillies did wrong, mm-hmm. and it's just your ending that I think you should think about, because there's an alternative ending that's just as valid that I think would make people feel a lot better.
Okay.
It's not delusional.
Okay.
All right, so here's how it goes. Think about the dozen things that you said all morning about what the Phillies did to lose that game. Now, mm-hmm. your conclusion is that, oh, they're going to lose the series. But there's another way you can look at it. If you were a Dodger fan, you would say, the Phillies did a dozen things wrong, and we still barely won. And now, what's going to happen when the Phillies return to the form that saw them winning two games in L.A. during the season? The Phillies are really in control because they're not going to make all those mistakes. The odds are against the Phillies making the same mistakes. I think the Phillies are going to do what they always do in L.A. Since I was a little kid listening to Harry Callis at midnight on my transistor radio, as the Phillies beat the Dodgers in L.A., I think they're going to do it again. They're not going to make the same mistakes that you guys have been great, just doing a great job capturing. I think it's a time to be optimistic. That's really the point.
So, Al, I can understand where you're coming from. I also think it might be fair to point out that the Phillies have held the best player in baseball to 1-for-9 with 6 strikeouts, and they haven't won either game. Like, do we think Shohei Ohtani is going to continue to do nothing here?
Well, that's a bright spot for L.A.
You're saying things are going to even out, right? Like, so they could. The Phillies could play better, but, like, Ohtani's probably going to wake up at some point here.
Yeah, but so will our bats. Their bats have been as silent as ours. Just look at their big players. And you think that's – have you read what L.A. folks are saying about their bats and their bullpen? Man, this thing's over. You should look at some of the national headlines, too. Dodgers barely survived.
He sounds like you.
I like his
rally.
Optimism.
Dodgers survived bullpen collapse in 4-3 thriller. Yeah. Dude, we're looking at it from our perspective, and we think the sky is falling and it's over. But you know what?
I like this guy. Like
there's another way. It's just as valid. The odds are going to even out. The Phillies aren't going to make the same mistakes. They learned something. Tapper's not going to play for a tie again, or at least he's not going to say it.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to make those same mistakes. You know, so I think we got to look at it just favoring the odds and say things are going to be different in L.A. We beat them twice this year. We're going to do it again. And we've always done well in L.A., man. Just relax.
So, Al, I think there's a chance things get a little bit better. And, Al, they could certainly win a game out there. I'll appreciate the phone call. The problem is, and I do appreciate that was – he brought some optimism to the table, okay? And as we spin forward to tomorrow, we're going to try to ratchet it up if I can get there. I know Hugh is going to be able to get there. But, like, they could win a game out there, and it still ends.
Yeah, it's
they
still
could
alive.
Win two games,
but
and it still ends.
But it starts with
ends.
One. Starts with one, though.
No, I understand.
Starts with one.
Yeah, but, like, the hole is deep.
Yeah, it's a big old hole.
If this
hole.
Was 1-1, that's a different story. Yeah. Then, like,
but
all right, maybe.
Yeah. Like you can climb out of it, though. I mean, it's not like you can't. I mean, it's a tougher hole to climb out of, but you can still climb out.
The perspective is interesting because they're, you know, they've been close-ish games, and they're playing, like, I mean, at least compared to how they played for most of the season, like, they're playing awful right now.
I think if you want to have optimism, is they've been 2 coin flip games, and we've lost both coin flip
games.
Right,
but it's just a matter of, do you expect more of the same from the first 2 games? Which also now people have very valid reasoning for calling back to the previous Octobers. Like, this seems more like an October trend than just like a down part of this season.
When we had our round table on Friday, right? Our rally for October, and we had Jack and James on, right?
Yes.
We were talking about the Dodgers. Jack said something that I think he brought up an interesting point about, because you've brought up, Hugh, that they've been the best team in baseball for 13 years, the Dodgers, right? But they haven't won all the World Series. They had a lot of bad Octobers. But Jack said something Friday to us. One of his worries was the Dodgers figured it out. Like, last year was they broke through, and now
that. Yeah, now they're trying to work on that D word.
Right, exactly. So you wonder, like, did they just have figured it out now? And then are, because for this to go the other way, they'd have to blow it, right? They're up 2-0. Maybe if we were playing the Dodgers of 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I'd say, you know what? They could do that. I'm not sure that this Dodgers team will. Brian in Mayfair. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, afternoon?
Hey, Brian. What's up?
I wanted to say just the Al's last call sounded like Cope, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. What other question? What started this catalyst for the Phillies team originally all the way back in 2022?
Yeah, Topper, right?
Yeah, well, firing Girardi for Topper was the big move that season.
Yes. So why can't we, right now, in the middle of the series, fire Topper, replace him with Kevin Long? I don't know who would be replacement. And then we can maybe, hopefully, get the magic back. Because I don't trust Topper at all. He's lost all my faith.
He's lost me too, Brian. Now, I've never heard of a manager getting fired in a playoff series.
Yeah, and then with one game left.
But I am willing to try anything to right now.
Desperate times call for desperate
measures,
right. You know?
Listen, Brian's thinking outside the box.
I mean, he is thinking outside the box, and I can't fault him for that.
Yeah. Listen, Brian, I don't think anything like that's going to happen, but...
Probably not, at this point, you got to try everything, and the Aaron Nola decision is just like, what has he shown us this season that makes us trust him? I don't understand it.
Well, nothing. I mean, if we're being honest, he has a 6-year. Brian appreciates the phone call.
It's a hell of a two calls back-to-back.
It is.
Their Phillies have him right where they want him.
And fire Topper before
today.
Game 3.
Yep. You know what it reminds me of? Was it the Red Sox documentary?
Yeah.
And Theo's like talking about how he's having discussions with the owner during the game while they're watching Pedro
about
blow it.
Firing Grady Little.
Like, can they fire Grady Little? Yeah. Can we fire him on the spot?
The funny part is we talk about that on talk radio. Like the Red Sox literally were having that discussion. Can we fire this guy now in the game? That's how bad it was.
when I saw Kirkring warming up after Lizardo was at like 72 pitches. Granted, Lizardo had, I guess, apparently reached his limit in that game. But, like, when I saw Kirkring warming up, I was like, hold on. I was like, get Topper out of here before he can even do this.
That it is what makes the postseason baseball so good. Like, you consider within the game firing a manager. Just remove him now.
I can't allow him to make that decision.
Get him out of the building now. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in and join the show. We'll continue to everyone's phone calls in the 1 o'clock hour. Blame game, frustration, it's all out there. I mean, the Phillies went down last night, a game that Lizardo was great. Hughes pointed out a couple times today the stat on Lizardo. We haven't seen that many guys retired in a row by a Philly starter since who, Hugh?
It's been since Roy Halladay.
Since Doc. It's kind of
that's crazy. Yeah, I know. Like 21 of them. Things.
I know. And obviously the symmetry to last night was the anniversary of Roy Halladay's no-hitter in the playoffs. So, I mean, Lizardo deserved better. The Phillies, we deserve better than this. For it to be going out like this after the season they had. All right, we'll take your phone calls. Topper, the bats, the defense, all of it. Plus, I know some people want to talk about the comments that Nick Castellanos made directed at the fans and the Citizens Bank Park environment after the game last night. We'll hit that. What Castellanos was quoted as saying. Also, for the second straight game, while losing, we had to deal with the Duran entrance, which is now the most tone-deaf thing going on in the city. I mean, it is a flat-out joke. We'll get into that next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casinos getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download the FanDuel app today. Get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.